Okay, good morning and a good Chodesh, everybody. Today's daf is Beit Daf Lamed Vav. We are holding on the top of Daf Lamed Vav. Amid Aleph, today's share is once again sponsored by Dr. David Lander. In honor of his wife and children, we thank him so very much for the sponsorship. So first thing we're going to discuss, we already started yesterday comparing our case in the Mishnah of lowering peiros from a roof on Yom Tov to a case of clearing out a space on Shabbos in order to allow for people to learn, in order to allow for the Beis HaMedrash. So the Gemara is going to discuss whether the rules of clearing drying fruit from a roof on Yom Tov are the same as the rules of clearing space on Shabbos. We already compared it in terms of the quantity that you're allowed to clear out. Now we're going to have three other comparisons where we're going to question whether the halachas are the same in both cases. Then the Gemara is going to have a machlokas if you're allowed to move a kli for the sake of something that's muktzah. I'm taking a kli that's not muktzah, but my only purpose in taking this kli and moving it somewhere is to protect that which is muktzah. So since there's going to be a raya from our Mishnah in that Shaila, so that's why we bring that discussion over here, and there are going to be six different rayos in that Shaila, whether you're allowed to move a kli, litzarech, something that's muktzah. If you hold that it's usur to move a kli for the sake of something that's muktzah, the Gemara is going to discuss why it is that one is allowed to cover a honeycomb in winter when there's no honey there. So it's also moving something, litzarech davar muktzah, and the Gemara is going to give two answers to that question. Then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to talk about removing the bucket that catches the leak, when you have a leak in your house, to remove the bucket that catches the water in the leak, and details of Graf Shel Rai, what the halachos are of Graf Shel Rai as it relates to removing the bucket full of the dirty water from the leak. Then the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to give us three different categories of Yisurim Drabanan that apply not only on Shabbos but on Yom Tov as well, and the Gemara is going to explain what the issue is with each of those items. So let's begin Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph at the top of the page. So says the Gemara, Hasam Tanan, in Masechta Shabbos, when it talks about moving Mefanin Arba V'Chamish Kupos, that you're allowed to move four or five boxes in order to clear away for the Beis HaMedrash, it says Avalois Otsar. It says, but you're not allowed to clear out the entire space. Vamr Shmuel, my Avalois Otsar. What does that phrase mean? Avalois Otsar, not the storage facility. It means Avalo Yigmaris Otsar Kulo. That even though you're allowed to move four or five boxes, that's only if there are many more boxes there. But you're not, if those are the only boxes there, you're not allowed to clear out the very last boxes that are there. You're not allowed to clear the space entirely. Why? Dilma Asida Shwi Gumos. Because we're afraid by exposing the floor, now you're going to notice that there are holes in the floor, and you're going to come to sweep in order to even out the floor, and that's going to be an Isser D'Oraisa of Bone on Shabbos. Now, it's interesting, Rashi uses the word over here when he describes exposing the floor. He says, the Legalus is a Ritzpah. The Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach points out that normally when Ritzpah is used in the Gemara Rishonim, we're talking about a tiled floor. We're talking about an even surface. Normally, when it's just a floor, we don't use when it's a dirt floor, we don't use the term Ritzpah. So Rav Shlomo Zalman is a little bothered by why Rashi would use the term ritzpah. There's no chashash shvuy gumos on a ritzpah. There's only chashash shvuy gumos on a dirt floor. But anyway, that's what the Gemara said, the Mishnah says in Shabbos, that you're not allowed to clear out the entire otzer. So hachamai, what about our din of lowering the peiros that are drying, and you see that it's about to rain, so you need to lower those peiros from the roof, get them off of the roof. Are you allowed to remove all of them from the roof? So what are the tzadim? Hasam hu b'Shabbos da'asur mishum d'chamir. Maybe we're only more machmir by Shabbos, because Shabbos is generally more chamor than Yom Tov, so maybe we're more concerned about Ashviya Gumos and Shabbos, where Bona is going to be an Isser Karis and Isser Skila, whereas in Yom Tov it's just a regular Los Asay. Aval Yom Tov to Kail Shapardami, Yom Tov which is more Kal than Shabbos, maybe we don't have to be extra Choshesh that Dilma Asil Ashviya Gumos. Oh, Dilmo, or maybe no, maybe you could say the other way. That Hasam Dika Bitul Beis HaMedrash Amrit Lo, the need to clear the space on Shabbos is a much greater need, because it's for Bitul Beis HaMedrash, for people to learn Torah, nothing more valuable than that, and still we don't allow you to remove everything in order to clear space. Hacha Delekel Bitul Beis HaMedrash, over here it's just a little bit of a loss of money, it's a little bit of a loss of the fruits, but it's not going to be a Bitul Beis HaMedrash, not as great of a need, Lo Kol Shkein, so then all the more so, it should be us to clear the space. Now the yesterday when we were discussing the comparison in terms of the quantity of what you're allowed to move, right? We said Mifan and Arba v'Chamish Kupa Shel Teva Shel Tevua Mipnei Orchim Umnei Bittul Beis Medrash. So we said maybe Shabbos is different than Yom Tov because one of the svaras we gave is that maybe you're allowed to move 4 or 5 kupos on Shabbos because Shabbos is more chamer and no one is going to come to be mezalzel. But Yom Tov, which is more kal, and it's more likely that someone's going to come to be mezalzel, we're going to be more machmir. Meaning, what we did was we said that because Shabbos is more chamer, that's reason to be more makel on Shabbos because we know that people already take it seriously, so we don't have to be extra machmir on Shabbos. Whereas when it comes to Yom Tov, where it's more kal, we have to be more machmir because we have to be worried that people aren't going to take it seriously. Whereas over here, now that we're talking about can you clear the entire space, we say, oh, Shabbos is more chamer, and therefore we need to be more machmir on Shabbos, which is more chamer. So what changed? Why is it that sometimes Shabbos being chamer is a reason to be more machmir, and sometimes Shabbos being chamer is a reason to be more makel? So the Achronim work on this question a little bit. The Pnei Yeshua raises the question. He suggests that only when something is mutter on Yom Tov, like a tircha and a tiltul tzorech, do we say a svara that we're choshesh that people are going to be mezalzel and be tareach even shalol tzorech, because Yom Tov is more kal, and therefore people are going to be mezalzel in Yom Tov. So when the Gemara spoke about the shear of the tircha, you know, how much are you allowed to remove? So he said, yeah, the svara, there's svara to be more machmir in Yom Tov, because people are going to take it more lightly. As opposed to by Hashvaz Gumos, where everyone knows that Binyan and Stira are Asr on Yom Tov and Asr on Shabbos, and the whole chash is that you're just going to forget. You're going to forget what day it is, so then we have to be more machmir on Shabbos, which is more chamur, because the concern is the concern that you're going to forget what day it is the same for Shabbos and Yom Tov, and the result is going to be a much much more severe result when it comes to Shabbos and when it comes to Yom Tov. So that's how the Pnei Yeshua is Metaritz Chassam Sofer, has a different Mahalich, but that's what the Pnei Yeshua says. Now the Gemara doesn't really is not poshate this shaila whether there's a chashash of hashvaz gumos even on a gag, and therefore you're not allowed to clear out the whole roof. So some of the rishonim meiri kotzi yesh misha omer that you have to be machmir that you're not allowed to remove all of the peros from a gag. Whereas other rishonim say that by a gag there's no chashash hashvaz gumos like there is in an otzer, because by an otzer there are gumos because there are shkatzim and ramasim all around the otzer. So we're choshesh that you might come to clear those holes in the ground. But by a gag, it's normally very flat, and there's no there are no shkatzim or ramasim that are digging holes in a gag. And also, the Toldos Yaakov points out that misvara, a gag doesn't have gumos, because then rain would gather there. It would puddle there, and inevitably it would leak. Water sitting and gathering somewhere is not good for a roof. So the Beis Yosef writes that mistama, it has the same din as Shabbos because of the suffix that was not mispashet in the Gemara. So we have the right to assume that there's no chilek between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Yom Shel Shlomo, he understands Shitas HaRif and the Rambam, is that by Yom Tov you are allowed to clear out the entire space. The fact that it doesn't mention that it's Mutal Ligmar is because Min Astam we assume that it's Mutal Ligmar. Mehechi Tesi, that it wouldn't be Mutal Ligmar. So we assume that you're allowed to clear out the entire space. So that's a discussion in the Rishonim. Now, another halacha that we try to figure out whether it applies equally in our case of lowering payros and in the case of Shabbos. V'hacha Tanan, it says over here in our Mishnah, Mashilin Peros Derech Aruba B'Yom Tov, that you're allowed to lower payros through a skylight on Yom Tov. Va'am Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman adds a caveat, lo shanu ela ba'oso hagag. That's only if the skylight is located on the same roof. Avol migag legag lo. But if you're going to take the produce from your rooftop to a neighboring rooftop and only from there lower it into the house, that you're not allowed to do. That's already too much tircha. V'tanya na miyachi, ein metalta migag legag, afilu Chicago say in Shavin, that you're not allowed to be metalta from your roof to your neighbor's roof, even if it's an even surface from your roof. It's attached houses, and your neighbor's roof is on the same surface, the same level as your roof. So Hasamai, what about by Shabbos? Would we say the same thing, that you're not allowed to move from one place to the other in order to get rid of it? Hachu dasu mishum Yom Tov zekayil. That's only, maybe it's only by Yom Tov, which is more kal vasil zilzulebe, and therefore there's more of a concern people are going to be mezalzel, so we have to set very strict rules. Aval Shabbos to Chamir v'lo asilus zuli, but Shabir dami. But Shabbos, which is more chamur, and a person is not going to come to be mezalzel on Shabbos because he appreciates the severity of Shabbos. We don't have to make such strict rules. O Dilma, or maybe you could say the opposite svar. The ma'hacha di'ika hefsed peros amrit lo. If by Yom Tov, even though the peros are going to be ruined and it's going to be a loss of money, still we say you're not allowed to take it through a friend's roof. So hasam, when it comes to Shabbos, the lekha hefsed peros, where there's not going to be a loss of peros, it's just a matter of clearing space because you want to learn up on the rooftop, lo kol shekein, then for all the more so it should be asur to be metaltel from one gag to the other. This ibaya is also lo evshita, it's also not resolved. And then a third case, hachatanya, we have a brice over here when it comes to lowering peros from your roof on Yom Tov, lo yishal shalem bechevel bechalonos, that you're not allowed to lower them through windows using a rope, meaning if there's a skylight in a house below, so the surface of the floor of the roof has the window in it, so you can lower through that. But let's say to get it down, you have to pick it up and put it through a window and lower it with the rope into a neighboring property or something like that. So that you're not allowed to do. That's already too much tircha. You're also not allowed to take it through ladders and steps and things like that. It has to just be able to go straight through a skylight. So asamai, what about by Shabbos? Do we allow these types of removal even that involve more tircha? So again, the tzadim of the safek, hachad yom tov uda aser, dilek a bitul beis medrash. Maybe on yom tov it's going to be more aser because there's no bitul beis medrash, so the tzorech is not as great. Aval Shabbos, dik a bitul beis medrash shaper dami. But when it comes to Shabbos, where there is bitul beis medrash, we might allow more tircha in order to clear the space. O dilma, hachad yik hafzid peros amrit lo, hasam dak hafzid peros lo kol shkein. Or maybe no, maybe we could say the opposite, that over here where there's hefsed peros, still we don't allow you to do it. By Shabbos, where there's no hefsed peros, where there's no peros that are going to get ruined, for sure we shouldn't allow you to do it. So teiku, the Gemara leaves all these questions unresolved. As we pointed out in the past, whenever you have something that's left as a teiku, it's a machlokas rishonim, how we paskin. Some rishonim say, the majority of rishonim assume, that a teiku on a shayla midrabanan is lakula, and a teiku on a shayla midaraisa is lachumra, because savik daraisa lachumra, savik daraban lakula. Yet a minority of Rishonim assume that a teiku is always l'chumra, because the word teiku means let it stand, and if you're being poshet l'kula, then you're not letting the shayla stand, because if a person is really uncertain of how to behave, the safest thing to do is to be machmir. So teiku is saying, be cautious about this, be conservative in your approach to this, and let it stand. So that's the question of how to paskin. Now, says the Mishnah, says the Gemara, the Mishnah told us, mechasen es haperos, that you're allowed to cover up peros that you're afraid are going to get leaked on and going to get ruined. So Gemara says, yeah, is that only peros? Because you're able to eat peros on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and therefore the peros themselves are not muktzah? What if the item that you're nervous about is a muktzah item? Am I allowed to take a blanket to cover up or a tarp to cover up a muktzah item on Shabbos and Yom Tov? So Amar Ula Vafilu Avira Delivni, even if you have a row of bricks that you're afraid are going to get ruined, you're allowed to take a tarp in order to cover that, to protect that as well. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar, Peros Aru'uyin. Rabbi Yitzchak says, no, you're only allowed to move a kli in order to protect that which is not muksa, like Peros, that you're able to eat. But and this is Vaz Rabbi Yitzchak L'tameh, Rabbi Yitzchak L'shitaso, Dam Rabbi Yitzchak, Ein kli nital, Ella l'davar anital b'Shabbos, that a kli is only allowed to be moved for the sake of that which is not muksa. But even though you're not handling the muksa at all, you're not allowed to move another kli just for the sake of protecting that which is muksa. So that this is the machlokas. Is one allowed to remove a kli with the sole purpose of protecting something that is muksa? So the Gemara is going to have six rayas whether you're allowed to move a kli to protect that which is muksa. So we start with our Mishnah. Raya number one. Tanan, mechasen es haperos bekelim. It says in our Mishnah, you're allowed to cover peros with kelim. Peros in avir delivni lo. Pretty clear that you're allowed to cover peros, but you're not allowed to cover a row of bricks with kelim. So hu adin dafilu avir delivni. Says in Gemara, on a raya, maybe you're allowed to cover even a row of bricks that are muksa. Vaidi taneresh mishilim peros. But since the first case in our Mishnah spoke about where you have peros on your rooftop and you're removing the peros from the roof, roof in order to protect them from the rain that's inevitably going to come. So Tana Seifa Nami Mechasna Saperos. So when the Seifa talks about a case where there's a leak in your house and something is going to get ruined, so it keeps the case consistent by talking about Peros. But don't make a diuk that it's only Peros, but if we're Avira Delivni, it would be different. Nah, if we're a Muxitem, it would be the same. So that's not a Raya. So Raya number two, Tanan, also from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, V'chein kadeh yayin, v'chein kadeh shemen, that you're allowed to cover jugs of wine and jugs of oil. So the jugs of wine and jugs of oil are not Muxa. So maybe over there we can make the diuk. We were not already previously talking about kadeh yayin v'kadeh shemen. Why would the Mishnah introduce that? It wants to give me an example of what you're allowed to move a kli to cover, and it gives an example of something dafka that's not mukta. So it says Gemara, Hachamay Askinan Betivla. Who says kadeh yayin and kadeh shemen aren't mukta? Maybe they're tevel. They don't have chumas and maisos taken from them, and you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to take chumas and maisos on Shabbos. And maybe that's goofa what the Mishnah is trying to tell me, that even something that's mukta, you're allowed to move another kli to protect that which is mukta. So maybe it's a raya the opposite way. And Nami Mistavra, and I'll tell you, it's more Mistavra to assume that we're talking about Kadayim and Kadayim Shemin that are Tevel and therefore Mukza. Because if we're talking about regular wine, regular oil, well, we already said you're allowed to move a Kli in order to protect Peros. Why would Kadayim and Kadayim Shemin that are not Mukza be any different than Peros? It would have the same exact status as Peros. So it must be that it's telling me some Chiddush when it says Kadayim and Kadayim Shemin. So the Chiddush must be that even though the Kadayayin Kadayi Shemin are Muktzah, you're allowed to move a Kli to protect them. Says Gemara, that's not a Raya. Kadayayin V'Kadayi Shemin is Srichalei. I'll tell you what the Chiddush is by highlighting Kadayayin V'Kadayi Shemin, even though it already told me Peros. Not because they're Muktzah, they're not Muktzah. Sal Kadayi Dechamino Lehevsin Ruba Chashu Lehevsin Muat Lo Chashu. I might have thought for a major loss, like having it rain on your Peros that are drying, where they're going to be finished. So I would think that were Choshesh, and we allow you to cover them up, but lehefsin muat. But for kadei yayin, kadei shemen, just that it doesn't get slightly ruined from the rain, where you could just wipe it off afterwards. So lo chashu, I would think that we're not choshesh and it would be a tirchus lo letzorech. So kamash malan, that's why it has to tell me, the Mishnah has to tell me that even for the sake of kadei yayin v'kadei shemen that are not mukta, but also there's not such a risk to them, you're allowed to move a kli in order to protect them. But it's not necessarily talking about kadeh yayin v'kadeh shemen that are muksa, that are tevel. So that raya fails as well. We don't have a clear maskana whether we could be medayek from kadeh yayin v'kadeh shemen. It could very easily be talking about kadeh yayin v'kadeh shemen that are not muksa, and there's still a chiddush in that line. So now we move to a third raya, also from our Mishnah. Tanan, nosan kli tachas hadelef b'shabbos. You're allowed to put a kli under a leak on Shabbos, even though whatever is leaking through, the water that's leaking through l'chora is mukta, because it's disgusting water that would come through a roof. So you would imagine that it's mukta. So yet you're allowed to move a kli in order to catch that water. So isn't this a raya that you're allowed to move a kli for the sake of something that's mukta? Says Mar, no, bedelef harotui. We're talking about clear water that's coming through that your behemoth will be more than happy to drink. So it's not mukta water, and therefore it's not a raya. Now raya number four, tashima, first raya not from our Mishnah. Parson machzelas al gabe levanim. You're allowed to put a mat over bricks that are set up for on a construction site, and it's going to rain b'Shabbos. You're allowed to cover them on Shabbos. So you see, even though the bricks are muksa because they're set aside for binyan, they're set aside for construction, you're allowed to move a mat to cover them. So you're allowed to move a kli for the sake of a muksa item. Says Gemara, no, da yasum binyan dechazin lemizgalayu. These are bricks that are left over from a construction that's already complete, and they leave them at the construction site to use as a bench, as a chair, or something like that, and therefore they're no longer muktza. Raya number five, tashma, parsim machzelos al gabei avanim b'Shabbos, that you're allowed to put a mat over stones on Shabbos, dry stones that you want to use for building, and if they get wet from the rain, you're not going to be able to attach them to each other with cement properly, because the wetness of the rain is going to make the cement not stick properly. So if you want to continue construction without waiting a while till the sun dries up the bricks, so you want to cover them from getting wet in the first place. So you see that that's presumably what we're talking about over here. So they're muktzah bricks, and yet you're allowed to remove a kli for the sake of the muktzah bricks. Says Gemara, no, not muktzah bricks. The kinds of stones we're talking about, not muktzah stones, bavanu mukrizolos dechazin lebeis hakiseh. We're talking about very smooth stones that people use for the beis hakiseh, that you're allowed to use on Shabbos for the sake of beis hakiseh mishum kavod abrios. So that is not muktzah at all. So yeah, that you're allowed to move a kli for the sake of such stones. Then the Gemara says raya number six, and this raya is going to take us, going to carry us into a whole nother conversation about beehives and psikreshe and the malacha of tzad. But here's how we introduce it. Raya number six. Tashma porsin machzelus al gabi kaveris devorim b'shabbos. You're allowed to take a mat and put it over a beehive on Shabbos. Bechama bnei achama in the summertime to protect it from the sun. Ubikshama bnei gshama in the wintertime to protect it from the rain. Ubulvad shelo yiskavin lotzud. As long as you don't have any kavana to trap the bees inside. So hasamnami over there. So don't you see? Meaning that like Ula says that a kli is allowed to be moved even with tzarich adavra mukta because the items in there are all mukta. So says well, no, the bees may be mukta, but hasamnami dika devash. There's honey in there. So since there's honey in the on the honeycombs, so that's not mukta. So you're moving the kli in order to protect the honey, which is not mukta. Says Gemara, Amar le Maruk from Mimeshon Ravashi, Hateinach Mimosa Chamadika Dvash, Pimosa Gsham Maikle Memor. Well, wait a second. We said you're allowed to move it to protect in the summertime or the wintertime. In the summertime, there's honey. In the wintertime, there's no honey in there. So in the wintertime, you're only moving this kli to protect mukta. You're not protecting anything that's not mukta. So to that, the Gemara has two answers. One that it gives right now, and another one that pops up on Amud Beis. So answer number one, why is it that I'm allowed to move a kli to protect a beehive or whatever you call it, the honeycombs during the winter time when there's no honey there? Lo nitzcha alos and shtei chalos, because they always keep two honeycombs there throughout the year, even during the winter time. So there's always honey there. That's answer number one. So there's always something not muksa there. Says Mar alos and shtei chalos muksa saying those are muksa, because why do they keep those two honeycombs there? That's for the bees, for the sake of the bees, to give them the sweetness to be attracted to. But we don't use that. It's the additional honeycombs that we use. So Achamayiskin and Shechishev Aleihem. No, the case must be that you had a machshava about an Erev Shabbos to eat even from the two that they always keep there consistently. Says Marav, Alo Chishev Aleihem Mai. So if you did not have a machshava that you want to use them, what would the halacha be? It would be Aser, right? But says the Gemara, well, the Mishnah itself contrasted a case where you're allowed to cover up the honeycombs and a case where you're not allowed to cover them up. Well, and how did we contrast it? We said, oh, you're allowed to cover them up, but if you have kavana letzeda, then it's going to be aser to cover them up. Why do you have to bring a case of kavana letzeda? There's a much more basic case where you're not allowed to cover them up. Adetani bulvad shlo yiskavin lotzud. Instead of, if you want to come up with a case where we have to be machmir, don't bring in a new topic about having kavana for trapping. Keep it in the same exact topic that we've been discussing, the same exact case, same exact topic. You're doing it during the winter time, and there are only those two honeycombs that are there, and you could say, yeah, when is it mutter? Where it's not muktza, because you had a machshava that you're going to use this honey already from before Shabbos. But if you didn't have such a machshava, it's going to be aser. So says Marna Hachi Kamer, the Mishnah Tafka wanted to introduce us to the concern of tzeda. So it's trying to tell us, even if you can solve all muktza problems, there's still an additional problem with covering an area that has bees buzzing around near the honey, because you might be trapping the bees. So you can't have kavana lotzud. So says Mar Bamayu Kimta, which of the Tanayim is our Mishnah? Did we just say this Bryce is going like? Clearly, Rabbi Yehuda dislay muktza. Clearly, we're assuming that there is a muktza issue over here, and therefore we're assuming assuming this brisa follows the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, but Ema Seifa, but the very brisa says, Ublevad shlo yiskaven lotzud, that as long as you don't have kavana to do tzeda, that's asal the Rabbi Shimon, damar davashen miskaven mutter, meaning apparently as long as you don't have kavana to do tzeda, it's all a matter of kavana, Rabbi Shimon is going to say, it's going to be mutter. Why? Because we're assuming davashen miskaven is mutter, but that's not Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda holds that davashen miskaven is aser. So how could it be that on the one hand, the brisa assumes like Rabbi Yehuda, who has the broader definition of muksa, and yet the very next word to the brisa assume like Rabbi Shimon that a davar sheinu miskaven is mutter. So says Mar, really, is this a davar sheinu miskaven? When you have bees in there and you cover the whole thing, so you don't have kavana to trap them. That's enough. You don't have kavana, but they're going to be trapped. Even Rabbi Shimon is moda by a psik reishi v'tizbra to Rabbi Shimon va'abay v'rav adami tarvayu moda Rabbi Shimon psik reishi v'lo yamos. Rabbi Shimon agrees that when it's a matter of a psik reishi that it's going to be asur. So here also, you cover up the kaveris with the machzelas, so why does it matter that you're not even kavana to trap them? The tzedah's happening. Of course they're being trapped. Says Mar Liolam Kula Rabbi Yudahi. The whole thing is Rabbi Yehuda. Why does it talk about kavana then? V'achamayaskinon di'ispe kave, that there are these little windows on the side where the bees can escape. V'lo temel Rabbi Yehuda b'vach lo yiskaven lotzud. It doesn't mean that you don't have that as long as you don't have kavana to trap. Eleimu b'vach lo ya'asena matsuda. It means to say, you just have to be careful not to actually trap. You just have to be careful not to make it in such a way where the bees are actually going to be trapped there. You got to leave some room where they're able to escape through those side windows. Says Mar Pshita, isn't that obvious that it's going to be usher if you actually trap them? No, not so obvious. Ma'u detema, I might have thought, b'mino natsud usher, shalom b'mino natsud nitzod mutter, that which is normal to trap is going to be usher to trap mina Torah, but that which is not normally trapped, like flies and things like that, people don't trap because they're trying to catch them, so it would be mutter mina Torah to trap them. So over here also, it should be mutter to trap bees because it's ein b'mina nitzod. So kamash mulan, therefore, comes to tell me what? Therefore, it comes to tell me that ein b'mina nitzod is also mina Torah? No, but that it's also midrabanan, at least. That even though mina Torah, it's mutter to trap that which is ein b'mina nitzod, still midrabanan, we're concerned, and therefore midrabanan, it's also to trap that which is ein b'mina nitzod. Now, the Magen Avram writes, he brings a raya from here in some Shinta Zayin, where we discuss the Melech of Tzeda. The Magen Avram says, you see from here that psik reishi is also even on nisr drabanan, because it says in the Gemara that a davar shein b'mino nitzod is going to be usher, and that's only usher midrabanan, and it's usher even in psik reishi. I mean, the case that we're describing over here is that you're not trying to trap, you're just trying to protect it from the rain. Elamai, it's psik reishi that it's going to get trapped. Yeah, and what's going to get trapped? Bees. That's an only nisr drabanan to trap bees. So you see that doing psik reishi even on nisr drabanan is going to be problematic, and that's against the shita of the Trumas Hadesh in Simin Samach Dalid, who holds that a psik reishi on a drabanan is mutter, that a psikresha is only going to be aser when it's a psikresha on a daraisa. In the Shara Melech, he says, no, our Gemara is a raya the opposite. It's a raya to the Trumas Hadeshen, because he says the tour doesn't have the girsa of vitizbara in our Gemara. And because our Gemara holds that even though it's a psikresha, it's still going to be mutter because it's only an iser drabanan. So our Gemara is dafka saying the opposite, if you change the girsa a little bit, that it's saying dafka that a psikresha on a drabanan is going to be mutter. Okay. The most common case where we describe a psik reishi is dragging a heavy bench on the ground, right? That's where we say that even Rabbi Shimon is going to be moda that it's going to be asur. There is a discussion in poskim. What about wheeling a stroller or a wheelchair on dirt? Is that the same as dragging a heavy bench because it's going to dig into the ground? It's going to also inevitably make a hole. So in Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, he quotes many svaras to perhaps be makel. He says first of all, it doesn't dig; it just compresses the ground, so it doesn't dig, so it's not really like being choresh on the ground. And he quotes from Shlomo Zalman Arbach that it's a psik reishi delo nichalei, so you always have the sheet of the aruch that a psik reishi delo nichalei is mutter, and it's kila achar yad, so maybe that is a svara to be makel. The Rabbi Yamin Zilber in Shuvah Saz Nidbru says in any way the hole that it makes is not ra'ui to plant in, so it's not really charisha, since it's not and it doesn't leave the type of hole that would be right to plant in. So they come up with all sorts of kulas to enable people who have wheelchairs or strollers to be able to go even on where there's no pavement, to even go on a dirt floor. Okay, so as we said, when the Gemara posed the question, we said there are going to be two answers. We said, we don't understand. How could it be that you're allowed to cover the kaveres during the winter time when there's no honey there? So you're being metaltel a kli for the sake of that which is muktzah. So the first answer was, no, there's always something not muktzah in there. There are always the shtei chalos. Answer number two, says the Gemara, Ravashi Yamar, Ravashi says that mikatani b'imosachamu b'imosachashamim we mistranslated that phrase before. We said you're allowed to protect the, so the way I translate it is during the summertime to protect from the sun, during the wintertime to protect from the rain. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say summertime and wintertime. It says in the sun to protect from the sun, in the rain to protect from the rain, and that means b'yomei Nisan and b'yomei Tishrei. During these times of the year, coincidence, we're in the last day of Tishrei right now. It's Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan. It's the last day of Tishrei. So during the days of Nisan and Tishrei, Dika Chama Vika Gashama Vika Dvash, where there is sun and there is rain and there is also honey in there. So that's what it means. But certainly during the wintertime when there's no honey in there, you don't have a raya that you're allowed to move a kli for such a sake, for such a purpose. But also in kli taksa delf b'shabbos, we said you're also allowed, the Mishnah said, you could put a kli underneath a leek to catch the leek on Shabbos. So Tana im nismale hakli, if the kli gets filled up, you're allowed to continually empty it out each time it gets filled up, and you don't have to worry about it. In the Sefer Toldos Yaakov, he says, obviously, meaning, why would I think there's a limit on how many times you're allowed? Once you're allowed to do it once, right, there are very few things that on Shabbos or Yom Tov, you get one time, you get a freebie, you know, and, but if you do it twice, then it's going to be us. No, if you're not allowed to do it, you're not allowed to do it. If you're allowed to do it, you're allowed to do it. So why would I think that you're not allowed to do it more than once? What's the chiddush? So you suggest that, what's the whole heter? The heter is mishum graf shal rei, that it makes your house unlivable while it's there. It's disgusting to have around, so you're allowed to move it out. But if it's going to be the kind of thing where you're going to spend all day dealing with the graf shel rei, so then that's gufa, unlivable. Meaning if you're going to be, you can say, there's sewage in my house, so I'm allowed to remove it because graf shel rei. But if I spend the whole day on Shabbos dealing with sewage, that defeats the whole purpose, the whole letter of graf shel rei. So I would think that if you're going to be doing it all day, it's going to be problematic. So that's why it has to tell me a chiddush that shovich v'shona ve'no nimna. At least you get that little respite in between when the bucket is filling up again from the leak. So be'rechayad Abaye dalof. There was a story where the mill of Abaye, where no one lives, it's just where he keeps his mill, but there was a leak and it was going to ruin his mill. So, and it was Shabbos. What do you do? So Asal Kameh to Rabbah. He went to ask a Shaila. He went to ask Rabbah, what can he do? So Amalei, Zil Aili L'Poriyech L'Hasam. He said, no problem. Make it your house. Go bring your bed there, and then it's going to be where you live, and then it's going to be a Graf Shal Rei. They'll have a Graf Shal Rei, and then it's going to be a Graf Shal Rei, so you're going to be allowed to move. You're going to be allowed to Va'afke. You'll be allowed to take it out, because it's a Graf Shal Rei. So Yasav Abayi V'Kokashalei V'Chiyosam Graf Shal Rei L'Chadchila. Abayi wasn't comfortable with that Eitzah. He said, you're allowed to just make a Graf Shel Rei on purpose. It's not really a Graf Shel Rei because I don't live there. So I'm going to move my bed in there. It's going to become a Graf Shel Rei. Then I'll be able to empty out all the buckets and take out the water that comes in. While Abayi was sitting there in the Lamdus and trying to question Rabbi's Psak, his whole Rechayim fell apart. The rain, in fact, ruined it. So Amar Tesli to Avri Adamari. He said, okay, I deserve what I got because I violated the Shita of Rabbi. Rabbi told me what the halacha is, and instead of just listening, I questioned the shita of Rabbi. Tosus writes that the reason, meaning the Gemara never explains what the answer to Abayi's kasha was. Abayi says, "V'chios and graf shel rei l'chadchila, you're not allowed to make a graf shel rei l'chadchila." So why did Rabbi allow it? So Tosus says the reason Rabbi allowed it is because of the pseida of the Rechayim, that in certain cases of significant hafsid, maybe you are allowed to make a graf shel rei l'chadchila. Or Tosus says maybe this isn't called making graf shel rei lechadchila because it was already raining there. Meaning, making graf shel rei lechadchila is creating a situation where it's going to get dirty, not a situation where it's already dirty and you now make it your living space. Maybe that's not called making graf shel rei lechadchila. So, but the clear assumption is that the moral of the story in this Gemara is that we paskin like what Rabba said. However, the Rambam writes that you're allowed to put a kli tachas hadelef, avalim eino ra'oi ein nosim shein nosim shein osim graf shel rei lechadchila. Sounds from the Rambam that we paskin like what Abaye thought, that you're not allowed to do this. So, but the story in the Gemara sounds like Abaye was kicking himself for not doing it. So the Kesef Mishnah says that the Rambam thought that since Rabba never answered Abaye's question when he asked it, it must be that we paskin like Abaye. And Rabba, we don't accept Rabba's shita. Why is Abaye kicking himself at the end? He's not really kicking himself. He's just saying, you know, if I wouldn't be such a lamdan, then I'm right in my lamdas. My lamdas is correct. But if I wouldn't be such a lamdan, maybe I would still have a mill to talk about today. That's all he was saying. But it's not a matter of psak halacha. Amr Shmuel, graf shel ri va'avit shel meimei reglayim mutar lotzi'en la'ashpa. If you have a toilet that's full, you're allowed to take it into the ashpa. You're allowed to take it out of your house. When you bring it back in, nosin bo mayim u'machziro. You could put some water in it to bring it back in. Agav the mayim, you're allowed to bring it back in. So sovereign minot graf shel ri agav mana in b'fnei atzmalo. So we're assuming that graf shel ri only when it's in a kli, you're allowed to bring it back in. But the actual excrement, you're not allowed. The actual disgusting item itself, you're not allowed to handle directly, even when it's ruining your living environment. So says Mar Tashema, and I'll bring you a raya that you're even allowed to handle that which is disgusting directly. There was an achbar that was found in the place where Ravashi used to keep his besamim, his nice smelling spices. Amlu Ravashi. Ravashi told the people that live in his house, grab it by the tail and get the mouse out of here. So you see that you're allowed to pick it up directly. You don't need to. It doesn't need to be in a kli in order to move it. Okay, new mission now. So this mission is going to tell us that there are a number of Yisurim and Rabbanan on Shabbos that also apply on Yom Tov. And we're going to have three categories. Kol shechayav nalav mishum shvus, mishum reshus, mishum mitzvah, b'shabbos, chayav nalav b'yom tov. Anything that chamur goes there that you're not allowed to do, whether it's just a matter of shvus, it's an Yisurim Rabbanan that has no mitzvah benefit whatsoever, whether it's a matter of reshus, that if you were to do this activity, there's a minor mitzvah involved, not a significant mitzvah, but a little bit of a mitzvah, or whether it's mishum mitzvah, something that's actually a mitzvah, but the Rabbanan Asr doing it on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do them on Yom Tov either. Chayav Nalav doesn't mean chayav in the conventional sense of chayav like some sort of onesh, like on a Doraisa level. Over here we're talking about Yisurim Drabbanan. So chayav Nalav means you're chayav to not do these things, meaning it's an Yisur Drabbanan. Veiluhain, and the following are the three categories. Veiluhain mishum shavus. The following are the examples of the category one, that which has no mitzvah whatsoever. It's just stam, and it's a drabbanon to do. Lo olin bi'ilon, you're not allowed to climb a tree on Shabbos Yom Tov. Lo rochon al gabi behemi, you're not allowed to ride on an animal on Shabbos Yom Tov. Lo shatan al pnei amayim, you're not allowed to swim, float on the water on Shabbos Yom Tov. Even if the pool is in a chatzer, not in a rishus sarabim, it's in your backyard. You're still not allowed to be shatan al pnei amayim. You're not allowed to clap. You're not allowed to smack your thigh. And you're not allowed to dance on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So that's category one. Things that themselves are not a mitzvah at all, and they're also midrabanan on Shabbos, and mainly they're also midrabanan on Yom Tov as well. Category two. The following things are a little bit of a mitzvah, and there's room that you would have thought to be matir them, but you're still not allowed to do them. Lo danin, Beis Din is not allowed to do a din Torah. Velo makadshin, you can't be makadish Shanisha on Shabbos Yom Tov. Below Cholzin, you're not allowed to do Chalitza of a woman whose husband died and you're a surviving brother. You're not allowed to do Chalitza in place of Yibum. Below Miyamin, nor are you allowed to do Yibum itself. Ve'elein Mishum Mitzvah. And the following things are actually mitzvos that you're not allowed to do because the Rabban and Asr are doing them on Shabbos Yom Tov. Lomakdishin, you're not allowed to make things hektish l'shamayim. Velo Ma'arichin, you're not allowed to say that you're donating your erech, your Torah prescribed value to the Beis Hamikdash. V'lo machrimin, you're not allowed to make something chayrim by giving it lebedek habayis, by donating for the bedek habayis, committing a donation to bedek habayis. V'lo magbin truma ma'aser, and you're not allowed to collect. You're not allowed to separate trumas ma'aseros from your produce on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So kol elu b'yom tov amru, all of these things are true on Yom Tov. So kal v'chomer b'Shabbos, there's certainly asr on Shabbos. Ein bein Yom Tov l'Shabbos ala ochel nefesh b'vad. The only thing that it's asr to do on Shabbos, but mutter on Yom Tov, are matters that involve ochel nefesh. Now the Gemara is going to explain that the reason you're not allowed to be mekadish anisha is a gzeira shemi yichtov. So in general, we're not allowed to give matanos and make kinyanim on Shabbos and Yom Tov for that reason of a gzeira shemi yimtov. It's a gzeira of mekach umemkar. So the Rambam writes, someone who's mocher is nosa matanos b'Shabbos or Yom Tov, makanos or makas mardus, but the kinyan is chal. So the Magen Mishnah says is mocher is from our sugya. So you see, the Rambam says you're not even allowed to give a matana on Yom Tov, and that Magen Avram points out that which we allow giving a kli that requires tevila to a goy on Shabbos in order to avoid the need for tevila because you have no other eitz on Shabbos, that's only litzorich Shabbos, they were matir, but a matana b'Shabbos normally is going to be aser because it's domo lemekach umemker, and that's why the Mishnah Berurah writes in Siman Shin Vav that the minhag that people have that they give to a gift to the chassan who darshins on Shabbos Yom Tov is incorrect. You're not allowed to give matanos. That's what they post can discuss. In many shuls, they give a matana to a bar mitzvah boy on Shabbos of his bar mitzvah. So that also is problematic. So the tzadim lahakel are that A, they maybe some are makbid to make a kinyan on his behalf before Shabbos, so there is no kinyan that's happening on Shabbos. Or B, maybe the tzorich mitzvah, it's going to be mutter to make such kinyanim. Because the Gemara says in Beitza earlier in Daf Yadalid that you could send tefillin on Yom Tov because they're ro'i la'nicham b'chol, and then we pass in that way in Shulchan Aruch. So the Beis Meir says, don't you see from there that you're allowed to give a matana? We're sending tefillin. So the poskim say, no, it's not a raya from there because that's a dvar mitzvah. So maybe a dvar mitzvah is going to be different. Okay, Beis Hashem, we'll pick up with the Gemara right after the Mishnah Alam Vavim Beis tomorrow. A good mechadesh and have a good day, everybody.
Shkaya, Rabbi. Thank you.
See ya.